Thank you very much for coming, everyone. It's lovely to see everyone here. Really appreciate you being here, but also participating in the journey of the family of CCE. So thank you. There's a few folks that I know would have liked to have been here and sent their apologies, but lovely to have an evening together where we consider a little bit, what has God been doing? Where's he taking us? How we can get involved and how we can develop some of the things that we'd love to see developed amongst us. One of the dangers that I find as somebody who's a kind of future-orientated, big picture, if you know Myers-Briggs, EN person, is that I can very easily live in the future and always wanting the next thing and always sort of wanting to move forward and develop and et cetera, et cetera. And so one of the challenges, I think, for me and people like me is sometimes just to stop and to recognize what is and celebrate what is and what God has been doing and what God is doing. And so just for the next few minutes, what I want to do is look back a little bit at 2016 and then refer back to the family meeting that we had back in October time. To just give some feedback on some of the things that we heard from the conversation and discussion around some of that, and then begin to look forward about how we can develop things. And then Andrew's going to come and do some finances. And for me, the finances are all there because they facilitate what it is that we really want to see. It's about the change in people's lives and the kingdom of God coming and all that kind of stuff. And so the finances just really help us to do that. And so we'll do that. And then Simon's going to come as the chair of trustees, give a little bit of a trustee's perspective on what God is doing just at the moment. And then we're going to break out into these groups to consider four areas of the church and how we want to develop them in the future. So that's a kind of rough map of where we're going to go this evening. So looking back on 2016, I just went through every newsletter that Stephen sent out over the last year and just looked at some of the events and the things that were happening and being promoted. I went through the CC family page and looked at the different posts that were there and tried to remember some of the things myself of what God has been doing. And there's an amazing amount of things that we do as a family. And it's sometimes just good to stop and pause and reflect on that and remember the things like we sent out right at the beginning of the year. There was a meeting here with Alistair and Danny, and we sent them out to Fiji, and they're now in Australia. Over the last year, we've had two meetings with Wellsprings, one with Billy Kennedy, where we formally aligned ourselves with Pioneer and became part of the Pioneer Network, as well as our local and perhaps more regular network of churches called the Scottish Network that we're part of. We had a sermon series in February and March around the apostolic church and hallmarks of an apostolic church, which we believe very much is part of God's call for us. We've had baptisms, a Meadows Festival stall during the Meadows Festival in June, which was also part of Ignite. Worship 36. We've had new trustees integrated. Naomi was prayed to be part of the community of leaders, our leadership group, a day away at Fogarty Park. Anne, I think this is worth celebrating. Sorry, Anne, I'm going to embarrass you. Anne has spent the last 2 years doing an MA in counselling and has passed in October time. So what an amazing achievement. And is so crucial for the future of hope that actually now we have somebody locally who has the qualifications to be able to run the training courses, and we're not reliant on our link with Southampton. So that's really important. We've done some upgrading of the building. We've changed the Wi-Fi that was so haphazard and hit and miss to something that's good. We've refurbished the ladies' toilets, upgraded the video projection system right at the beginning of the year. There were supposed to be more photos, but I'm forgetting to put them up. We've had Alpha in the upper room. We've had a couple of people come to faith because of that, but more on that a bit later on. We've had a craft-making cafe. We support First Sunday worship service at Patrick's Roman Catholic Church, Bethany Night Shelter, And then there's just the ongoing things of church life, like Hope and Messy Church and Toy Library and Basics Bank and Liquid and weddings and babies and all-age services and Sundays and preaching and worship and prayer and intercession evenings and the children's and family work, our involvement with the Scottish Network, Ladies Connect evenings. I mean, there's a massive amount that we do, isn't it? I think it's amazing. For not a particularly large community, there's a huge amount that we're involved with and that we do. And just to stop and celebrate the changed lives, what God has been doing, and the people that come through our doors week by week in different contexts. And so some of what we've been trying to do in the on the sofa bits on Sundays is just to try and tell some of those stories. And some of the stories are really hard to tell because they're other people's stories and they're confidential. But it's amazing what God has done. And so I think looking back on last year, there's lots for us to celebrate and to recognize that God has been at work. And all of that is really quite a lot of activity stuff. But the thing that strikes me more than anything else about CCE, it's not about what we do, it's about who we are. And the sense of community and family, of sharing life, of praying, encouraging and supporting and walking through times with each other, that is actually probably one of the most significant things about who we are. So, lots to celebrate about. And yet, when I pray, and yet sounds like that dismisses that. I don't want to dismiss that. Let's just pause and go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is amazing. And so much of that is things that actually people in this room are involved with. So I want to say thank you, because it really wouldn't happen if it wasn't for the commitment and the time that folks give. So thank you. Sela. And yet, when I think back to my beginnings, in 1988, I was in Pakistan. I wasn't a Christian. And there's a bit of a story that one day some of you may have heard and others can hear at another time. But I had a real encounter with Jesus around a campfire one Saturday night. One of my favorite pupils, his parents had died in a car crash, which had really shaken a lot of people up. And that night, with a bunch of Christians around a campfire, I met Jesus. I knew nothing of the gospel. I had no understanding of the cross or anything, but I knew that I'd had an encounter with God. And over the next 2 years, which involved another year and a half in Pakistan and then probably half a year here, God completely changed my life. Completely changed my life. Changed not just some of the superficial or external things that probably needed changing drastically, which they did, but actually changed something deep in here, as I was sharing a little bit this morning on the back of Naomi's brilliant preach. But also changed the whole direction of where I was going. Instead of heading off into London to earn a fortune, I felt a real sense of God's call to church work. It completely changed my life, that encounter around that campfire. And I think as I reflect on that, when I start praying for CCE, that's what I want to see more of. Jesus coming and stepping into people's lives and radically, profoundly changing them. People that maybe have got they're not inviting or interested necessarily in God, but God just comes and breaks in afresh. I wasn't interested. I wasn't asking. Just met God around that campfire. And so that's what I pray for when I think about CCE. I pray for others to find that kind of hope, that God breaking out and God breaking into people's lives, people coming to faith and having their lives changed around, healing and deliverance and transformation, restoration and reconciliation, meeting with Jesus and falling in love with him and finding life as they follow in his ways. And so I pray, one of the things I pray more than anything else is for this family to grow. Not because I think that having a big church makes us look good and cool, but because actually what we want is Jesus to change people's lives. And we want more people to experience the transformation that many of us have experienced, all of us probably, in different ways and different stories we've experienced in our lives. That's what we pray for and long for, I think. And so I pray for the family to grow. I imagine the balconies filled with people. I really do. I actually, if I can let you into a little secret, I imagine the floor floored over and us meeting upstairs in the balcony full. Many times a weekend. That's what I imagine. Other communities of faith that spring up in other parts of Edinburgh or around Scotland in collaboration with other churches, because we really want to see the light of Jesus break into other people's lives, families and communities. That's what I pray for, of people who are transformed, going back to transform society, planting churches, going to the nations, resourcing beyond ourselves. I believe that's part of our call, but we need to move and step into that as a family. And so over the last wee while, oh, I'm not doing very well with this PowerPoint, lots of things that we did last year, lots of things. So last year we began to start saying, this is what we believe God's call is on upon us as a family, and here are some of the next steps that we need to take. And so to try and put some words around some of the things that I think we sense prophetically, we feel that God is saying, some of the things that we imagine as we pray, I've begun using these words about growing and developing. We want to see CCE grow and develop. And for many of us, most of us here, probably these are fairly familiar things that we've said, but right at the top, under grow, it's people coming to faith. CCE growing in numbers, not so that we can, you know, feel good about ourselves, but as I said before, because we want people to experience that transformation. Depth of formation, that transformation and formation as people get involved in the life of the community, and then new communities of faith springing forth as that's happening. We want to develop the apostolic hallmarks, that sending, resourcing church that I believe we're meant to be. We need to develop emerging leaders. If we're going to really step into this, leadership development needs to be a critical thing that we're engaging with, and to structure ourselves for that kind of growth. And I do believe that there is stuff that we need to do to this box that will resource the mission that we have. So that's the grow and develop bit. Hopefully that is fairly familiar. And then over the last 6 months of last year, I really sensed the Lord saying we need to mend the nets. We need to get ready for the catch of fish. And this was very much based out of the story that Colin was preaching on. I think it's Luke 5, isn't it, Colin? About the disciples going out, and they'd been fishing all night, and then they were back on the shore, and the scriptures say they were washing their nets. They were getting ready for the next night's fish. They hadn't caught anything. And then Jesus sends them out again, and they catch this enormous catch of fish that the boat starts to sink, and another boat comes out. And eventually they manage, and they pull in this huge load of fish. I believe we need to get ready for God breaking into people's lives. I hear again and again people saying, church leaders all around the UK saying there's an openness to the gospel that they're finding right now. I do believe there's something that God is saying that about the church recapturing the sense that Jesus transforms people's lives and people can become Christians. And that ought to be a normal part of church life. And we need to be ready for that. Because I think God's saying that he will give us babies if we get ready for them. If we get the nursery ready, he will give us babies. And so the mending the nets is a really crucial part of what we're to do. And here are some really practical things that we talked about in October about welcoming the stranger, which is a phrase that's found in Scripture, which was really about how can we welcome new people into our community through small groups, through welcome on Sundays, but integrate those folks into the life of the church and begin to disciple them. It's about telling our story, which is part of the bigger and greater story of Jesus, but actually it's our story that we've got something to offer here. We're just one church in town, but we've got something to offer, and to have a sense of confidence about who we are and what we've got to offer. And so with things like developing a communication strategy and just thinking a little bit about, I hate this phrase, but I can't think of another phrase, but kind of our branding and what people experience when they come through the front door. And there's an old, is it still there, Anne? A Budleia in a plastic pot. Don't know, maybe it's gone now. But kind of when people make decisions about a community in the first 10 seconds of being here. So actually what the front of the building communicates will say something about who we are. What happens on a Sunday morning, for example, when people come and meet the stewards, says something. So It's telling our story in a coherent and humble but confident way. And the third thing is about joining the dots. There's something around families and children where there's a huge amount of vibrancy and life. Messy church, toy library, all age services, the children's and family area. But how can we join the dots up and help people find and hear something of the story of Jesus and find their way into the community of faith? And so those are three things that I think over the next year or so would be really good to develop. We brought that in the forum last time, and there were a number of conversations that happened that were then fed back into plenary, but also stuff was written down on the flip charts. And there were a lot of things that were said, but here are six things that I heard that came through a number of times through those conversations on the flip charts or in other conversations following the forum. And the first one, which is probably the most important one, is let's keep sight of Jesus in prayer. This isn't just about doing lots of activity. It's actually about Jesus being central and prayer being foundational. And I do think that's really important. And when we talked about it as a leadership group, that was one of the things that we really agreed, that in the midst of what potentially could be quite a lot of activity, we mustn't lose sight that this is Jesus that does it. I can't make the church grow. No one can do that, but Jesus can. And so he has to be central, and prayer has to, and spirituality has to be the bedrock of all that we do. I think there was a plea not to become corporate. So even using words like branding is probably not the best term. And if somebody's got a better term, then please help me. And I think there's a real desire for us not to become corporate. We're a family. And so one of the phrases that somebody in the leadership group used about a year ago is we want to grow a family, not a crowd. And I think that's really important. And coupled with that is about not losing the sense of values that we have, the community, the grace, the relationships, the honesty, and some of those things, the honor of one another, that are part of our values. And so we need to keep the values and not just become a business in the way that we do things. We're a family, but we're a family on a mission, but keep that sense of family. I think there's a real concern that we don't do too much and become overstretched. And I think that is a real concern. Just want to acknowledge that. That's a real question. Not quite sure how we ensure that. But I think it's important that we don't try and run too quickly to do too much that we burn out. And I have a friend who was involved in a very, very successful church down in London that won't remain, I won't mention the name. Amazing. I mean, they were seeing people come to faith all the time, but 10 years in that church, he burnt out because they just worked them so hard. And I think that's not who we are, and that's not who we want to be. And so there's got to be a way that we can move forward, but move forward in sustainable ways. And I think that is really important. And so thank you for highlighting that coming out of the last meeting. There was also a comment about students, and there'd been a lot of students in the church. There are not so many at the moment. We don't have a student worker. And I think that's a really helpful observation. I look at the halls of residence that are going up where Homebase was and where the Lutton Place Business Park was. Thousands of students that are literally within 2-minute walk of our building. And I do feel like students are part of God's call for us. But I, at the moment, not quite sure how to do that. And I'm not quite sure who has the passion and the time to make that happen. So I think it's a really good question that we perhaps just need to hold, but I do think it is part of God's call for us as a church. So thank you for that feedback. That's been really helpful has helped us to consider how we're communicating and some of the things that are important to feedback. So since the family meeting, I wanted just to give an update, this is the October one, of what has been happening. And we have fed a few things into the newsletter, so hopefully there's been a bit of information that's come, but sometimes we can miss a newsletter and it can feel a bit like radio silence, kind of what's happening since last October. Since the last family meeting, I mentioned this earlier on, I think within the next few Sundays, there were two consecutive Sundays where somebody came to faith. And my sense was that God was saying, when we take a step forward, he will honor that. Yeah. It was a kind of first fruits of what can be. And I was really encouraged. I would, you know, Chris and I were joking after two Sundays, like, what would happen if this happened every week? And it would be amazing, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be amazing. And I felt, but there would be a challenge of how do we disciple, how do we integrate, how do we help people get involved into the life of the community. I'm really not interested in numbers, I'm interested in disciples. And so I think it was the first fruits. I think it was God just saying, come on, when you take a step towards me, this is what happens. But it was really encouraging. And then Chris got going a film Alpha, which was partly in response to how do we help new people get integrated into the life of the church. Are you putting your hand up because you want to?
I was just to say that those two people are still very much with us and going on with the Lord. And
they are. Absolutely. So Chris has just said those two people are very much with us and going on with God, and which is amazing and wonderful to see. And some of that is because of the film Alpha that gathered a whole bunch of people that were kind of new to the church and been Christians for a long time, and one or two people that got a lot of questions and weren't quite sure where they were at with their faith, and a few people that weren't Christians, and a few people that were becoming Christians, and a whole hodgepodge of kind of people. And I think there's likely to be two groups that are kind of coming out of that film Alpha-ish. But some really fantastic things that were happening there that was really prompted around how can we welcome the stranger into our midst. We've also been looking at parenting courses, which was part of the joining the dots, so that folks that may be coming to Messy Church or Toy Library, we can invite them to other events that we're putting on. It's what a church in Inverness does. There's some training run by Care for the Family that Joy's brother's wife, have you got that? Joy's brother's wife is the Scottish rep for what? Sister-in-law. That's the one. Thank you. Joy's sister-in-law. She's the Scottish person for Care for the Family, which is very different from Care. So please don't get confused with Care for the Family and Care. They're very different organisations. And they run parenting courses, and they've got free, they're offering us free training in May. And so Hannah and Kirsty are going to that with a view that we could then run positive parenting, I think is the course that they run. So that's happening in May. One of the things we were talking about is how could we have some Sundays that actually are open to people or geared towards people that aren't Christians that could come. And Straw and Stardust was our kind of first attempt at that, which was the Christmas service. And rather than putting leaflets all around the area, which is a huge amount of work, costs an awful lot of money to print the posters, we put it on Facebook. We paid £16. And 2,500 people from within a mile of the King's Hall looked at that advert, which was amazing. So I think there are ways in which we can begin to start telling our story and inviting people to things. And then other folks in the community shared. And so that was the first attempt at trying to join up some of the dots a little bit. And Carrie's started a comms team, which is, again, just trying to look at how can we communicate more about who we are, what God's doing, telling some stories, that kind of stuff. One of the key things that I think is happening at the moment, my sense is that having kind of said, okay, this is where we want to go, it's about how can we, you remember that dream ages ago about places, finding our place at the table. And it's about how can we help people find the place where their passions and their gifts come alive to contribute and to give. And so there's something about kind of helping people find the right place. And there's some conversations that are happening around leadership and staff at the moment about how we can do that in those kind of contexts. But I think it's a wider thing that we need to do. So some of the things that have happened or are happening is Andrew is now no longer the finance person, but finance and operations. And he's now 3 days a week rather than 2.5 days a week to try and facilitate some of that. Now, it's only 3 days a week, so there's still a limit. But I think that's, from my point of view, hugely helpful that potentially we have somebody with Andrew and others that could take on some of the operations side of things, because there is a lot to do around that, that can then actually release others of us to be involved in other things. So that's one of the things that happened from the 1st of January. Colin and I have been talking a bit about just really gearing up around evangelism and using that as a word. Scary biscuits. But I think we need to do it, eh?
Yeah.
And so actually, how can we really facilitate evangelism in the church? Because we want to grow, and we grow by people coming to faith, by Jesus breaking into people's lives. It's what happened with me. It's what happened with many of us, all of us. So, Colin's going to do that. One of the areas that we've been really aware has needed some love and attention is the whole pastoral area. There has been a lot of stuff that's been going on. We're really aware that in small groups and in the community that there has been a lot of pastoral care. There's an amazing amount that Hope Counseling does in terms of when people get really stuck. And there has been some very informal oversight of some of that, making sure that people have been cared for when they've been in really tricky or difficult situations. But it does need a little bit of love and care. It probably needs raising up a whole bunch of people that can get involved and serve and help in the whole pastoral area, a bit more structure given to it. And Anne, during this year, now she's done her MA, giving some attention to Hope just at the moment, which probably needs some attention after the, you know, just managing an MA and still being a practice manager of Hope. But we'll give some attention to the pastoral area of the church. So those are three things that are kind of in place, but they will be developed over time. And one of the other things that, yes, Moira. Operations is things like building. There's all kinds of stuff like health and safety and HR stuff and all things that just either we have to do or we do because we have a building. So the men's toilets get blocked. Who's going to sort that out? And then that uncovers a whole big, I won't bore you with all the details, but you know, it uncovers a whole problem, and then that needs finances, and we need quotes, and we need, you know, it's just a massive amount of work. And so actually Andrew to take more of a lead on that is enormously helpful. But that's also some development, you know, that could be development work or all kinds of things around the building, around some of the stuff that we have to do, like HR, like health and safety, and other things that have completely gone out of my head just now that you've asked the question, Moira. So does that help you a little bit? Okay, thank you. I'm rushing through. So in response to the keeping prayer and Jesus central, I think we need to, there is a lot of prayer that goes on, a lot of prayer that happens individually in groups and in other contexts. The presence evenings that Laura and Jan have been running on once a month on Sundays, the Worship 36. But I think there's a sense in which it would be really great to nurture prayer within the community. And I don't know if you've heard of something called Thy Kingdom Come. It started last year as an initiative from England that was primarily the Archbishop of Canterbury, but also some other people that are so-called presidents of churches, of which Billy Kennedy, who heads up Pioneer, is involved with. And it was really encouraging churches to take 10 days in Pentecost to pray in some way, and particularly with a particular focus of prayer that people would become Christians. But prayer is the main focus. And it was, apparently last year it was brilliant, but it was an English thing. I looked at it and I thought, wow, that's interesting, but it's an English thing, and we're in Scotland, so that doesn't quite work. Whereas this year they're saying they want it to be a global thing. And it's not an Archbishop of Canterbury thing, it's not a Church of England thing, it's about, actually, come on, let's the church across the globe pray for 10 days in Pentecost. However you want to pray, whatever's appropriate for your church community, pray. And this sense of let's push into something in God. And so as a Scottish network, we're encouraging all the churches around Scotland that we're connected with to be involved in this prayer initiative. The hope is that it wouldn't just be 10 days of prayer, but it would nurture something of prayer within the community that we're asking God to move amongst us. And so, I forget the dates, it's something like the 25th of May to about the 4th of June. Oh, I was right. There you go. There's one or two brilliant videos that Justin Welby's done, which we'll show on a Sunday or put on the Facebook page. So that's something we want to press into. Right, I am pushing on because I'm nearly done. So there are still a number of things that we need to develop. Where have we got to? Here we go. I think we really want to press into continuing to mend the nets. That is broader than just seeing people come to faith. It's about creating the structures and the ways in which we can integrate and disciple people and sort things out in the building and in some of the operations stuff so that we're ready to move forward. I think one of the things that I have become aware of and increasingly scratching my head thinking, how can we do this? Over the last 6 months, I would think most Sundays there's 6 to 8 or 10 new people around every Sunday. Now, of those 6 to 8 to 10, some of them are family, some of them are just visiting, some of them are here for a weekend, but there's probably 30 people that are we've got a list of names of that could become part of this family. And we need to find ways to really help them not just have a welcome on a Sunday, but integrated into the life of the community. I think it's really important. And so there is quite a bit of work around our small groups, which are still a mess and a guggle. And we really could do with someone or a group of people that are going to say, I would love to get hold of the small groups and look at them and bring some more small groups on and nurture the leaders and bring some structure around that. It needs some leadership, but there's an issue of capacity. The other thing that we're still in progress about, we're forming a team that would start with branding, but it's really a mood board, if you like. It's about telling our story. And so there's the beginnings of a team that we could start doing that. I've got two other people on that team, and maybe we need one other, and then we can start moving that forward. And that feels like that's the first step before we then look at how could we make this building communicate more about who we are. So there's still quite a few things to move forward on that. And I think I've already mentioned some of this, but I think one of the key things that we're looking at is how can we find people's gifts and passions and help them to find the right place that would move things forward. This feels like a really critical issue at the moment. And particularly, my feeling is that it's about leaders. It's about people that will make things happen, initiate, lead, take responsibility for certain things. If the responsibility of making stuff happen and initiating falls on a handful of people, there is always going to be a limit to how much we can do. Just because of capacity of headspace to think about stuff, as much as anything else. So my feeling is the critical thing is about distributing leadership. It's about raising up other people that say, no, I'll take responsibility for that. I'd really appreciate a conversation from time to time about, to pick your brains or for wisdom or whatever. And there are a number of people that that could happen with. But actually, I'll take responsibility and I'll make that happen. That feels to me really critical for how we move forward from here. And I think here are some things that would be really helpful to have folks helping with. So the welcome integration of folks. And if you're interested in that, you might want to speak to Chris, but we'll do some more conversations in a minute. Small groups and oversight feels really important. Comms team, Carrie's already mentioned about that. And then a sort of branding team. And then an all-age service team would be really helpful to have others involved in that creative Sunday morning thing that could become one of the ways in which we invite folks who aren't church people, Christians, to come to and they could hear something of the story of Jesus.